This is the reading for May 25th. Psalm 145. I praise your greatness, my God the King. I will praise you forever and ever. I will praise you every day. I will praise you forever and ever. The Lord is great and worthy of our praise. No one can understand how great He is. Parents will tell their children what you have done. They will retell your mighty acts, wonderful majesty and glory. And I will think about your miracles. They will tell about the amazing things you do, and I will tell how great you are. They will remember your great goodness and will sing about your fairness. The Lord is kind and shows mercy. He does not become angry quickly, but is full of love. The Lord is good to everyone. He is merciful to all He has made. Lord, everything you have made will praise you. Those who belong to you will bless you. They will tell about the glory of your kingdom and will speak about your power. Then everyone will know the mighty things you do and the glory and majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom will go on, and you will rule forever. The Lord will keep all His promises. He is loyal to all He has made. The Lord helps those who have been defeated and takes care of those who are in trouble. All living things look to you for food, and you give it to them at the right time. You open your hand and you satisfy all living things. Everything the Lord does is right. He is loyal to all He has made. The Lord is close to everyone who prays to Him, to all who truly pray to Him. He gives those who respect Him what they want. He listens when they cry and He saves them. The Lord protects everyone who loves Him, but He will destroy the wicked. I will praise the Lord. Let everyone praise His holy name forever. 2 Samuel chapter 19. People told Joab, "Look, the king is sad and crying because of Absalom." David's army had won the battle that day, but it became a very sad day for all the people because they heard that the king was very sad for his son. The people came into the city quietly that day. They were like an army that had been defeated in battle and had run away. The king covered his face and cried loudly, "My son, Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son." Joab went into the king's house and said, "Today you have shamed all your men. They saved your life and the lives of your sons, daughters, wives, and slave women. You have shamed them because you love those who hate you and you hate those who love you. Today you have made it clear that your commanders and men mean nothing to you. What if Absalom had lived and all of us were dead? I can see you would be pleased. Now go out and encourage your servants. I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, no man will be left with you by tonight. That will be worse than all the troubles you have had from your youth until today." So the king went to the city gate. When the news spread that the king was at the gate, everyone came to see him. All the Israelites who had followed Absalom had run away to their homes. People in all the tribes of Israel began to argue, saying, "The king saved us from the Philistines and our other enemies, but he left the country because of Absalom. We appointed Absalom to rule us, but now he has died in battle. We should make David the king again." King David sent a message to Zadok and Abiathar the priest that said, "Speak to the older leaders of Judah. Say, even in my house, I have heard what all the Israelites are saying. So why are you the last tribe to bring the king back to his palace? You are my brothers, my own family. Why are you the last tribe to bring back the king? And say to Amasa, you are part of my own family. May God punish me terribly if I don't make you commander of the army in Joab's place." David touched the hearts of all the people of Judah at once. They sent a message to the king that said, "Return with all your men." Then the king returned as far as the Jordan River. The men of Judah came to Gilgal to meet him and to bring him across the Jordan. Shimeah, son of Gera, a Benjamite who lived in Bahurim, hurried down with the men of Judah to meet King David. With Shimei came 1,000 Benjamites. Ziba, the servant from Saul's family, also came, bringing his 15 sons and 20 servants with him. They all hurried to the Jordan River to meet the king. The people went across the Jordan to help bring the king's family back to Judah and to do whatever the king wanted. As the king was crossing the river, Shimei, son of Gera, came to him and bowed face down on the ground in front of the king. He said to the king, "My master, don't hold me guilty. Don't remember the wrong I did when you left Jerusalem. Don't hold it against me. I know I have sinned. That is why I am the first person from Joseph's family to come down and meet you today, my master and king." But Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said, Shimei should die because he cursed you, the Lord's appointed king. David said, This does not concern you, sons of Zeruiah. Today you're against me. No one will be put to death in Israel today. Today I know I am king over Israel. Then the king promised Shimei, You won't die. Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, also went down to meet King David. Mephibosheth had not cared for his feet, cut his beard, or washed his clothes from the time the king had left Jerusalem until he returned safely. When Mephibosheth came from Jerusalem to meet the king asked him, Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me? He answered, My master, my servant Ziba tricked me. I said to Ziba, I am crippled, so saddle a donkey, then I will ride it so I can go with the king. But he lied about me to you. You, my master and king, are like an angel from God. Do what you think is good. You could have killed all my grandfather's family. Instead, you put me with those people who eat at your own table. So I don't have a right to ask anything more from the king. The king said to him, Don't say anything more. I have decided that you and Ziba will divide the land. Mephibosheth said to the king, Let Ziba take all the land now that my master the king has arrived safely home. Barzillai of Gilead came down from Rogelim to cross the Jordan River with the king. Barzillai was a very old man, 80 years old. He had taken care of the king when David was staying at Mahanaim because Barzillai was a very rich man. David said to Barzillai, Cross the river with me, come with me to Jerusalem, and I will take care of you. But Barzillai answered the king, Do you know how old I am? Do you think I can go with you to Jerusalem? I am 80 years old. I am too old to taste what I eat or drink. I am too old to hear the voices of men and women singers. Why should you be bothered with me? I am not worthy of a reward from you, but I will cross the Jordan River with you. Then let me go back so I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and mother. But here is Kimham, your servant. Let him go with you, my master and king. Do with him whatever you want. The king answered, Kimham will go with me. I will do for him anything you wish, and I will do anything for you that you wish. The king kissed Barzillai and blessed him. Then Barzillai returned home, and the king and all the people crossed the Jordan. When the king crossed over to Gilgal, Kimham went with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel led David across the river. Soon all the Israelites came to the king and said to him, Why did our relatives, the people of Judah, steal you away? Why did they bring you and your family across the Jordan River with your men? All the people of Judah answered the Israelites, We did this because the king is our close relative. Why are you angry about it? We have not eaten food at the king's expense or taken anything for ourselves. The Israelites answered the people of Judah, We have 10 tribes in the kingdom, so we have more right to David than you do. But you ignored us. We were the first ones to talk about bringing our king back. But the people of Judah spoke even more unkindly than the people of Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 20. It happened that a troublemaker named Sheba, son of Bichri from the tribe of Benjamin, was there. He blew the trumpet and said, We have no share in David. We have no part in the son of Jesse. People of Israel, let's go home. So all the Israelites left David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the people of Judah stayed with their king all the way from the Jordan River to Jerusalem. David came back to his palace in Jerusalem. He had left 10 of his slave women there to take care of the palace. Now he put them in a locked house. He gave them food, but he did not have sexual relations with them. So they lived like widows until they died. The king said to Amasa, Tell the men of Judah to meet with me in 3 days, and you must also be here. So Amasa went to call the men of Judah together, but he took more time than the king had said. David said to Abishai, Sheba, son of Bichri, is more dangerous to us than Absalom was. Take my men and chase him before he finds walled cities and escapes from us. So Joab's men, the Kerethites and the Pelethites and all the soldiers went with Abishai. They went out from Jerusalem to chase Sheba, son of Bichri. When Joab and the army came to the great rock at Gibeon, Amasa came out to meet them. Joab was wearing his uniform, and at his waist he wore a belt that held his sword in its case. As Joab stepped forward, his sword fell out of its case. Joab asked Amasa, Brother, is everything all right with you? Then with his right hand, he took Amasa by the beard to kiss him. Amasa was not watching the sword in Joab's hand. So Joab pushed the sword into Amasa's stomach, causing Amasa's insides to spill onto the ground. Joab did not have to stab Amasa again. He was already dead. Then Joab and his brother Abishai continued to chase Sheba, son of Bichri. One of Joab's young men stood by Amasa's body and said, "Everyone who is for Joab and David should follow Joab." Amasa lay in the middle of the road, covered with his own blood. When the young man saw that everyone was stopping to look at the body, he dragged it from the road, laid it in a field, and put a cloth over it. After Amasa's body was taken off the road, all the men followed Joab to chase Sheba, son of Bichri. Sheba went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel Beth Maacah. All the Barites also came together and followed him. So Joab and his men came to Abel Beth Maacah and surrounded it. They piled dirt up against the city wall, and they began hacking at the walls to bring them down. But a wise woman shouted out from the city, "Listen, listen, tell Joab to come here. I want to talk to him." So Joab came near her. She asked him, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "Yes, I am." Then she said, "Listen to what I say." Joab said, "I'm listening." Then the woman said, "In the past, people would say, 'Ask for advice at Abel,' and the problem would be solved. I am one of the peaceful, loyal people of Israel. You are trying to destroy an important city of Israel. Why must you destroy what belongs to the Lord?" Joab answered, "I would prefer not to destroy or ruin anything. That is not what I want. But there is a man here from the mountains of Ephraim who is named Sheba, son of Bichri. He has turned against King David. If you bring him to me, I will leave the city alone." The woman said to Joab, "His head will be thrown over the wall to you." Then the woman spoke very wisely to all the people of the city. They cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it over the wall to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and the army left the city. Every man returned home, and Joab went back to the king in Jerusalem. Joab was commander of all the army of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, led the Kerethites and Pelethites. Adoniram was in charge of the men who were forced to do hard work. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the recorder. Sheba was the royal secretary. Zadok and Abiathar was the priests. And Ira, the Jairite, was David's priest.
Chapter 9.
As Jesus walked along, he saw a man who had been born blind. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, why was this man born blind? Did he or his parents sin?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. Instead, he was born blind so that God could show what he can do for him. We must do what the one who sent me wants us to do while it is day. The night when no one can do anything is coming. As long as I'm in the world, I'm light for the world." After Jesus said this, he spit on the ground and mixed the spit with dirt. Then he smeared it on the man's eyes and told him, "Wash it off in the pool of Siloam." Siloam means sent. The blind man washed it off and returned. He was able to see. His neighbors and those who had previously seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some of them said, "He's the one." Others said, "No, he isn't, but he looks like him." But the man himself said, "I am the one." So they asked him, "How did you receive your sight?" He replied, "The man people call Jesus mixed some spit with dirt, smeared it on my eyes, and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash it off.' So I went there, washed it off, and received my sight." They asked him, "Where is that man?" The man answered, "I don't know." Some people brought the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. The day when Jesus mixed the spit and dirt and gave the man sight was the day of worship. So the Pharisees asked the man again how he received his sight. The man told the Pharisees, "He put a mixture of spit and dirt on my eyes. I washed it off, and now I can see." Some of the Pharisees said, "The man who did this is not from God because he doesn't follow the traditions for the day of worship." Other Pharisees asked, "How can a man who is a sinner perform miracles like these?" So the Pharisees were divided in their opinions. They asked the man who had been born blind another question, "What do you say about the man who gave you sight?" The man answered, "He's a prophet." Until they talked to the man's parents, the Jews didn't believe that the man had been blind and had been given sight. They asked his parents, "Is this your son, the one you say was born blind? Why can he see now?" His parents replied, "We know that he's our son and that he was born blind. But we don't know how he got his sight or who gave it to him. You'll have to ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. The Jews had already agreed to put anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Christ out of the synagogue. That's why his parents said, "You'll have to ask him. He's old enough." So once again, the Jews called the man who had been blind. They told him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man who gave you sight is a sinner." The man responded, "I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but I do know one thing. I used to be blind, but now I can see." The Jews asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he give you sight?" The man replied, "I've already told you, but you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear the story again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" The Jews yelled at him, "You're his disciple, but we're Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we don't know where this man came from." The man replied to them, "That's amazing. You don't know where he's from, yet he gave me sight. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners. Instead, he listens to people who are devout and who do what he wants. Since the beginning of time, no one has ever heard of anyone giving sight to a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do anything like that." The Jews answered him, "You were born full of sin. Do you think you can teach us?" Then they threw him out of the synagogue. Jesus heard that the Jews had thrown the man out of the synagogue. So when Jesus found the man, he asked him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" The man replied, "Sir, tell me who he is so that I can believe in him." Jesus told him, "You've seen him. He's the person who is now talking with you." The man bowed in front of Jesus and said, "I believe, Lord." Then Jesus said, "I have come into this world to judge. Blind people will be given sight, and those who can see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with Jesus heard this, so they asked him, "Do you think we're blind?" Jesus told them, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be sinners. But now you say, 'We see,' so you continue to be sinners."